And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. Nothing going on this weekend around here either. Joe, what's going on? How's life?
Life's fine. Sure, we'll have a much calmer show today. Yeah. Amazing basketball game yesterday, among many things going on.
Could this be the return of Joe Stillman today? I've had somebody ask me to ask you that, so I figured I'd just lead off the show.
Hey, speaking of still, I can count it up. Hours of arguing with Jared by text.
Sure, exactly how you wanted to spend your Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was wonderful. So, like I said, try to be calm and cool today. Great draft for the Titans. Good stuff.
There you go. Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well this morning, guys. But this Monday, I definitely have a case of the Mondays. And also, Joe, I took your suggestion for a movie. And oh, yes. I started Office Space, and hot take, I watched about 10 minutes of it, and it was really cringe. I had to turn it off.
10 minutes?
But I tried. Look at his face. Very corny.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I want you
10
to
minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to give it another shot because yeah. I was sitting with Ryan and we were watching it. He's like, Michelle, it's not that bad. But I think it was one of those moods. It was just not the type of movie I needed to watch at that time. So I'm willing to give it a second chance. But I just wanted to give a quarter review.
No, I get that. Sometimes people aren't in the mood for all-time great, hilarious comedy. totally understandable.
Sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Please try again.
So on that note, where to start from this weekend? Let's see what all happened this weekend. The Predators had a 4-goal lead against Arizona and blew it and lost for the first time. They've blown a 4-goal lead in franchise history. And now they're playing the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. Nashville SC opens up Geodis Park yesterday with over 30,000 people there. And have a 1-1 draw against the Philadelphia Union. The Titans drafted a quarterback over the weekend in the third round, and the Memphis Grizzlies and Golden State Warriors played an awesome game yesterday. We'll get to the draft for the Titans here in just a minute, but Joe, of Nashville SC, Preds, and Grizzlies, where would you like to start?
Gosh, it's a great question. Nashville SC, because it looked like it was as amazing as everyone hoped. Jason Fitz tearing it up on the fiddle, which is pretty freaking cool. You want to win on a day like that, but that scene was exactly what you hope for. So that's that's the best part of the three things. I suppose, the Malik Willis situation is the most interesting, and the Preds is the worst. I mean, I it's like 4-0 over the Coyotes. And look, if UC Saros is not going to see any ice time during a series, I don't think the Preds are beating either of those teams. But man, I still think that's just a killer outcome for them.
Well, I mean, you're up 4-0, and it's not like you're up 4-0 and you just had to work overly hard for it. I mean, they scored 3 goals on their first 5 shots or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you're up 4-0. And look, I think there was a little bit of, hey, they got up 4-0. It's Arizona's last game of the season, and they thought that they could coast to the finish line. And then by the time they had to get their game back underneath them, they had already allowed the Coyotes to get back in there. And look, Connor Ingram was not great in that game, and the Predators did a pretty bad job of keeping traffic out of the middle of the net in front of them. And there were tip pucks sometimes by the other team, sometimes by their own team, that ended up in the back of the net. But that's just a brutal loss. I mean, that is the first time in franchise history that they have blown a 4-goal lead and lost the game. And that was not a great time for that to happen, because remember, you didn't even need to win the game. All you needed to do was get it to overtime, and you were playing against Calgary, and you end up giving up 5 consecutive goals and lose the game in regulation. So to be up 4-0 in that game and lose it in regulation is pretty mind-boggling to me that that took place against Arizona. And now you've got a date with the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. Now, again, I also don't subscribe to what was going on late Friday night, early Saturday morning, to the, oh my God, the Predators might as well just not show up because they're going to get swept aspect of this, because I'm here to tell you, they're not going to get swept. But it was a pretty, pretty rough way to enter into the playoffs if you're the Predators.
Well, and you're probably right about cruising, but first of all, that sounds a lot like the Seattle game, yep, which became this, this big example for John Hines, and really, they responded well after it, but it's like, okay, you can't let that happen. But there's just no excuse for that. I mean, you know that you have several days of rest ahead of this. This is the last freaking game. So go ahead and win 9-0 or whatever. Not to mention, hey, if it's going to be this easy, pour the steam on and try to get Roman Josi to 100 points. I mean, you can't. That's absolutely ridiculous. And it doesn't necessarily translate to the postseason, because the postseason is different, and it's just playoff hockey is different. And the Preds aren't going to be in any position to coast again until they're done, until next season. Okay. But it's still just a weird team. It's a hard team to understand. I think you're probably right that they're not going to get swept by the Avs, but I mean, I feel pretty good about like Avs in 5. I mean, I could see the Preds getting one at home next weekend, but, I'm saying all this stuff, I'm sure they're going to win like 5-2 tomorrow night in game one, and then we'll all, be shocked. But I don't like their chances. You gotta have UC Soros to have a chance. By the way, did the last two games make you resolved either way? Should it be Riddick? Are we all off the Ingram train now?
I mean, I don't feel great about it either way, but my guess is, given that he just went in there and beat Colorado, they're probably going to start with Riddick, would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a small sample size, but the bigger sample size was always Riddick did play this year, did have some good performances, has had some success in the NHL, actually has had pretty good success previously in the NHL. So it would take being really down on him and then also really up on Ingram for that to be the switcheroo. So now I also would say right now, I will fully expect Connor Ingram to see the ice in this series.
Yep. I think there's definitely a chance that could happen. We'll get back into the Preds in the 7 o'clock hour, break down the matchup against the Colorado Avalanche. Joe, the Grizzlies over the weekend, they eliminate Minnesota in game 6 on Friday, so they move on to the second round. And then a quick turnaround, you're back in game 1 of the second round yesterday against Golden State. And what was an awesome game, Draymond Green ejected from the game, which I know you have thoughts on. And even still, Klay Thompson hits a big 3 towards the end, and Ja Morant has a last-second layup attempt that Golden State's able to keep out of the basket. And Golden State wins game 1 in a game where Draymond didn't play for a lot of the game, and that kind of felt like a gigantic missed opportunity for the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday.
No, it really was. I mean, Jaren Jackson has 31, I believe. He gets into the 30s and is hitting everything. It's just going nuts. I mean, this is a guy who key part of their defense, but he, there's plenty of games where, Jaren Jackson has, if he gives you like 4 to 6 points, 10 rebounds and 5 blocks, great game, He goes off like that. Draymond is not on the floor. And look, that is one of the worst calls I've ever seen. It's absolutely inexcusable to eject someone for what happened to that play, which included like trying to not let the guy hit the floor. Whatever.
I could live with flagrant 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, and I, you know, for sure. I mean, you can't, you grab someone's jersey. Plus, there was a little, I mean, like my buddy Patrick Brown from, you know, from, from 24/7, like he wound up and clubbed him in the head. And the, like, dude, what? Come on. But it's a Draymond call. I mean, it's a Draymond. By the way, Draymond's like exit was weird. Like, what are you doing?
I don't know what he was doing there. Yeah. But he talked about it after. Like, I guess he's got his little podcast or whatever. Which I'm sure, I don't mean to disrespect it by calling it a little podcast.
Cute little podcast.
I'm sure a lot of people listen to it. But he did. He was talking about that after. He's like, you know, I'm an idiot because I was stupid enough to think that they may not even call it a flagrant one. And the next thing I know, I'm out of there. So it was pretty funny to watch his reaction after that.
But the game itself, yeah, it's a huge loss opportunity for the Grizzlies. You have to win that game. He's out, and Jaren Jackson's going nuts, and Melton's hitting shots. But it was just an incredible game. Clay, I mean, Steph blocks him twice, blocks Ja Morant twice, tiny little blocks, but like incredible defense on what should be every time that switch happens, it should be a problem for Golden State. So yeah. I think this series has a lot of twists and turns ahead. I think it's going to be as good as we all hoped.
Will in Kentucky on the text line says, the Nashville SC game was a great experience. Glad I was able to be a part of sports history. It was loud. Everyone I ran into was friendly, staff included. It was my wife's first game, and even she enjoyed it. She doesn't really like sports. Let's not talk about parking, LOL, is coming from Will in Kentucky on the text line. I will say I expected to hear – like way more horror stories about the parking than we ended up hearing. I mean, obviously there were some, but I think all in all, pretty good day for Nashville SC yesterday. Like you said, Joe, that's a game you probably want to come out with a win, but to even it up in, you know, late there on the penalty kick and then to get a point out of it, not the worst day, and certainly a pretty awesome celebration yesterday over at Geodis Park.
Yeah, no, it sounds like they had a pretty good system, at least, given the circumstances. So, I'm with you. I thought we'd hear more about that, too. It was just a really cool deal, and that's going to be, you know, that's opening day is one thing, but I think that place is going to be routinely packed, rocking, and just a fantastic atmosphere and option for people, you know, in this city.
Another it looks beautiful. Yeah. It's a really good looking park the Nashville SC has put together over there. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will look at the finished product of the Titans 2022 draft, including drafting at the quarterback position. We'll take your reaction on that next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. You can make every day a good old day with a hand crank taste of Blue Bell ice cream. You can even taste that as I'm talking about it. That puts you right in the mood. The weather's warmer, great weekend outside, and what better way to spend it than with some Blue Bell ice cream? The good old days are being made right now. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
You envision him as the starter of the future, or is that less the predetermined case based on his draft slot?
Well, I think his role will be determined by how quickly he comes in here and learns the offense and improves and gets to, you know, gains the respect of his teammates. You know, no different than any other player. They're gonna earn opportunities. But, you know, again, he was a player that was just kind of staring at us there, and you know, we were excited that when we were able to get up and get him and not get jumped if somebody was coming up.
That was Titans general manager John Robinson over the weekend after the selection of Malik Willis at the quarterback position in the third round for the Titans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So the draft is complete for the Tennessee Titans. A couple of things to really highlight here, Rex Road, but we'll start with Malik Willis at number 86 overall in the third round. First off, if you'd have told me before the draft that Malik Willis was going to last until pick 86 in this draft, I'd have said, what? What are you talking about? But he did, and he was there for the Titans, and the Titans moved up, and they grabbed Malik Willis. And obviously, a lot of people think that starts now the clock on Ryan Tannehill and that maybe next year he is for sure gone at this point. Your reaction, Joe, to the Titans selecting Malik Willis and what this draft means for them as they move forward now with a quarterback taken relatively high in this draft.
Well, it's really interesting because it's not like you can look at this pick and say, they were moving on from Tannehill. That was the plan, right? I don't think they didn't know Malik Willis was going to drop like that. There were some people, you know, who were down on the quarterbacks, but it turns out that people weren't even down enough on the quarterbacks. That's the amazing thing about this draft. And so when you get to, I take John Robinson at his word. I mean, I think it's a situation where sometimes you're looking at your board and it's just like, hey, I mean, Malik Willis, so let's go to per Dane Brugler. He had Malik Willis ranked as a 32nd best prospect. And of course, some people had him mocked. Well, some people had him mocked number two to the Lions.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of mocks had him, going to the Panthers at six. I mean, I read somewhere that his average mock positioning was 14. But 32nd ranked prospect, certainly not expected to last to 86. Now, I think there's still teams that are totally happy with their quarterback situation that might be in a situation like this and still say, okay, well, he's the best player on our board, but why would we take a quarterback right now? So it's kind of an in-between thing to me that, you know, obviously the Titans are thinking about the future. I mean, this draft to me is it represents the first thinking about more than just next year and what you can do to win, to maximize, to be in the window, to go for it in 3 years. I mean, that's what this is. This is the first draft you're always drafting, thinking about more than next year as a GM, right? You have to do that. But this overall feels more like a think of the future than this year. And the Willis picks is a huge part of that, but I still think it is circumstantial. I mean, it's not like they're going to the draft like, okay, all we got to do is get it to 86, and then we're getting our quarterback of the future, guys. If they really wanted him to be their quarterback of the future, if that was the plan going in, they would have taken him earlier. But in the meantime, they've got an intriguing prospect. It's just going to be a really interesting, fascinating year. With Tannehill playing for his job, I think, for the next year, I'm not ruling out that Tannehill could be the quarterback in 2023. He could have a great 2022. And then what do? You still have him under contract. And Malik Willis could be a special talent. He also could be not at all ever close to a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, people have to recognize that. Yeah, if you read into all the evaluations, if you watch his film, he has tremendous talent, and right now, as a taker of sacks, thrower of picks, reader of defenses, he's not close to ready to be an NFL quarterback. It's going to be really fascinating.
It is. Now, I will say it's more fascinating to me that they moved up to go get him. Like they had picks at 35, 69, and then again at 100, and they moved up all the way in the 80s. To go get him. So, I mean, look, to your point, a lot of people had him at, 32. Some people in the mock drafts had him in the top 10. There are a lot of people that had Malik Willis. And as it got towards, the actual draft date, he started to slide back a little bit, and Kenny Pickett got some momentum and all these different things. But to move up and go get him in the third round, I think it's a good pick for the Titans, because if it doesn't work out, I mean, it's not like you just blew a first round pick on a quarterback where it doesn't work out, You've got other picks that you had in the third round. You took the offensive tackle. You took Roger McCreary in the second round, which we'll get to here in just a second. But I like it for the Titans in terms of the risk reward, because if it does work out, maybe you found a franchise quarterback in the third round. That's a pretty good thing if you're John Robinson at that point.
Well, just to be clear, they moved up four spots. They moved up from 90 to 86. But yeah, look, I mean, I agree. What's interesting is, would they have at some point taken someone in the middle rounds with sort of the idea of you know, let's have a young QB. I mean, I don't think that's ever like, we're definitely going to take this position here. You know, you can't do that. But I'd love to, if this didn't work out, had Willis gone like closer to when people thought he was going to go, you know, is it possible the Titans would have gone after someone else in that range? Or was this simply about him? You know,
yeah.
I mean, look, I think people are pretty unanimous in Malik Willis as the highest ceiling of these quarterbacks, right? I mean,
yeah.
And I've thought that. I mean, I think people are, you know, I think it's pretty clear. I think that if it were to work out and things were to come together for him, you know, he's got a lot to offer for sure. So, but that would be, I'd love to know that answer. You know, if the Titans would have taken, I'm trying to think of like who else went in that range. I mean, it's amazing how these guys plummeted in this draft.
Well, Ritter went right before that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Willis after that, but it is, I mean, I talked about four quarterbacks going in the first round. That looks funny looking back on that.
Well, it's just, I mean, we're conditioned to expect that, you know? I mean, I didn't buy it all along as we're sitting here talking about, I mean, come on, that's not going to happen, right? It's quarterback. Yeah. Teams are always chasing that quarterback, but that's how down they were across the board. I mean, there were some people, you know, there was a lot of talk about this or that from various GMs, but then you got like some of these anonymous I think it was somebody for the Athletic. It was like, you know, what is it? These guys are terrible. I mean, like they're just, you know, just almost angry about the quarterback class.
Yeah.
You know, but that, I mean, it just, so it turns into this opportunity. And I don't hate it either. I mean, like when the AJ Brown thing happens to me, it changes what next year is. Not that they can't be really good still, but it like the offense at the end of this draft, they did some things to help it, but I don't have a great feeling for this offense in 2022. I do have a great feeling for this defense. So it could be, the Malik Willis era could begin in 2023 and it could be really good.
Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says maybe Tannehill throws 5 picks and we start 3-3. Do you think the chatter will start then? Oh, yeah.
The chatter will, but, like, I'm already bracing myself to just be like, guys, like, you can't do this. You can't. I mean, and here's the thing. You know, I don't know exactly what the plan is. I mean, Woodside's going to be part of the organization. They could carry 3. You know, some teams do that. But regardless, he could be on the practice squad, whatever it is. If that happens, I bet you Logan Woodside is the next in line early in the year.
Yeah. I mean,
people don't want to hear that, but early in the year, that's what it's, you know, yes, the chatter will be almost instant. The chatter will start again.
Today. Yeah.
The chatter starts 2 days ago when they draft him. Like we've been talking about like Tannehill getting booed with his first incompletion. Well, now you also have the most popular guy in an NFL town, the backup quarterback, who, by the way, happens to be an incredible talent, you know, who some people thought was going to go number 2 in the draft. Yeah. It's an interesting situation.
I don't think there's any question about that. Andrew from Dover texting in says, could we be looking at the next Steve McNair for the Titans? He has a big arm and is mobile. This could be what we need. This coming from Andrew from Dover. I don't know if I'm quite willing to go Steve McNair yet, but certainly you love some of the attributes, I think, that Malik Willis brings to the table, including, to Andrew's point, the ability to run the football, which he does very, very, very well.
Yeah, you got the next Steve McNair, Treylon Burks, the next A.J. Brown / Derek Mason, Hassan Haskins, the next Derek Henry. I mean, it's all working out. By the way, who is this on the text line? Ready to hear from Joe Colt. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
I still have them winning the division, by the way, in case you're wondering.
We'll continue to take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I want to get Joe's thoughts on another pick for the Titans that has me scratching my head a little bit. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. The playoffs are into the second round, and you can make every game feel like game 7
on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay every single week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many different ways to play. And best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. I told you about the Heat against the Hawks. I like the Heat once again against the 76ers. Joel Embiid is out indefinitely, and quite frankly, I think the Heat are better anyway. So give me the Heat to win that series. Give me Jimmy Butler over on points. Bam Adebayo over on rebounds. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. Either way, you get the $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game discussing the NFL draft and the Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, we've gone through the first three rounds of picks for the Titans. I'm interested to get your thoughts as well on a couple of fourth round guys. Hassan Haskins, running back out of Michigan. We knew that it was a possibility they could take a running back at some point in the draft, and they do with Haskins out of Michigan. And we've talked about Okonkwo as well at tight end, especially with TD. He's brought him up a few times. What did you make of those two picks specifically? Haskins out of Michigan at running back and Okonkwo tight end from Maryland.
I like the Okonkwo pick. I think that might be my favorite pick of the draft where they got him. And look, this is where John Robinson came right out talking to reporters, you know, that day about his blocking and what he said. You know, look, like Dane Brugler from The Athletic, friend of the show, does an incredible job. I mean, the Beast is an incredible resource. A lot of these draft evaluators, I respect them. I think they work hard. They watch a lot of film. But, you know, like GMs still, you know, like they're still the best evaluators in the world of these people, of course. And when John Robinson says he liked a lot of what he saw of him as a blocker, you know, I think that's promising because you got to be able to – you just can't be predictable, right? You can't be predictable. Jonnu Smith took some time, let's remember, but eventually became just a force. And I'm not saying Okonkwo is going to be Jonnu Smith, but it does come to mind. He's the fastest tight end in the draft. Straight line. He's anybody who watched Maryland, and I'm sick enough to have watched some Maryland football in recent years. There's like 40 times, and then there's football speed. The dude is fast. He was a huge recruit. He is fast. He has good hands. The lack of length, obviously, that's a huge thing with blocking, right? I mean, long arms. I mean, that's a big deal. And just length in general is a big deal as an inline blocker at tight end. So he lacks that a bit, but where they got him, I think he's going to be, you know, I think with Hooper and Okonkwo, I do think now, you know, like in that area, certainly they are better. And I continue to argue with Chip from Mount Juliet, who claims that at the time, I mean, I want you to jump in on this. If you want to argue with me, Robbie, take Chip's side. He says trading out AJ, trading in, or he says that even with Burks, they added Woods and Hooper, that is better than last year, even before the rest of the picks. I'm so wrong.
Well, AJ Brown's gone.
I'm not so wrong. You're so wrong. You're wrong, not me. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what, right? What do you think AJ Brown is?
Yeah, like, I mean, look, I don't know how they're going to place Roger Saffold. I like Aaron Brewer. They've got Jamarco Jones. They've got Dylan Radins. I mean, you can put him at left guard. I mean, there's options there that they could do that. But right now, I think I know what Treylon Burks is, but I don't know what Treylon Burks is at the NFL level. When is Robert Woods going to be healthy for this team? Like, it's very difficult for me to say the offense is better right now than it was. And you don't have AJ Brown. Like, don't know, man. I if everything goes well, and Burks comes sure. in and is really good immediately, and Woods is healthy, well, then maybe you could start to talk to me about that. But right now, with no AJ Brown, that's difficult for me to go that way.
Yeah, there's a best case scenario, but there's so much on a rookie receiver coming in. And just remember again, like, there wasn't that much on AJ Brown. There really wasn't. He came in a second round pick. There was excitement about him. Obviously they needed another weapon. First game against Cleveland, he takes a short pass, takes the distance, like, wow, what a weapon. He did not, he was still able to grow into the offense and to be into heavy usage that year as a rookie. Treylon Burks has got to come in and, like, boom, snap your fingers. And I'm sorry, but Roger Saffold, I understand he was banged up. And he wasn't perfect. That's a big, big loss at left guard, people. It's a big loss. And even last year, when he, by the way, toughed it out and rallied himself to Sundays many times, I mean, when they had success running the ball, and think about that game at New England. I mean, the guy was an elite run blocker. So you just can't dismiss that and say, yeah, it's interior offensive line. Just throw someone in there. They're fine. That's something that you can't just overlook. I think some people are.
They do have franchise quarterback Malik Willis now, though, so maybe they are better.
That's right. Way to go. That's right. Yes.
Hey, I will say, next year, Malik Willis, get some of that Mariota stuff going. Get some of that Taysom Hill stuff going.
I'm saying, maybe so. The Titans round out the draft with Kyle Phillips at wide receiver from UCLA, Theo Jackson from Tennessee, which is an interesting pick, and then Chance Campbell, linebacker from Ole Miss as well. So we talked about the Titans heading into the draft not having a ton of picks. Obviously, they traded A.J. Brown and manufactured some picks from that regard. So they were able to pick up some, especially in the second round and early in the third there because of that trade. And then you jump up a few spots to go get Malik Willis as well. But rounding out with Phillips from UCLA. And the Theo Jackson one is interesting. Obviously, he went to Tennessee. I think you can make a case last year that he was their best defensive player. Round six, number 204 overall at safety, which is where I think he'll slot in there. I'm interested to see what Theo Jackson looks like and what he can make of this opportunity going in the sixth round at the NFL level.
I really like the Theo Jackson pick. I got to be honest. I wasn't even thinking about it. And they take him, and it's like, yes, Theo Jackson. But he was their best player last year on defense. Yeah. And the thing about Theo Jackson is he's one of those football nuts. I'm not saying he's going to be into the next Kevin Byard, but, like, I always think that's such a big thing, especially for defensive players, especially for that position, because it's such a cerebral position, and you know, obviously you have a lot of responsibility. Everybody devalues safeties, but I really like that pick there, and maybe he is the designated Crookshank on tight ends next year. We'll see. He can move around. Phillips is a really important pick for the Titans. And look, not big. There's nothing about him that's eye popping. He didn't run well, but he does have good quickness. Some of his testing was very good in that way.
Yep.
And if you watch him, that's absolutely drafting. By the way, the Titans drafted small receiver because they do. Again, they paid Adam Humphries. Like, they look at some guys that want someone to be a slot receiver. And here is another opportunity for someone to be dedicated, devoted.
And this is Joe on total mute.
Dude, like, I tried to mute myself to cough and I didn't, but then I muted myself when I wanted to talk. So good
it's
stuff.
It's okay. It's Monday.
And then I almost just swore right now on the air. can we just go to break? My God. Anyway, he's interesting. Don't sleep on Kyle Phillips. And he could be the returner too. You know, he's someone to watch in camp. And look, that receiver room, I thought they needed to address it a little bit earlier with some of the guys coming off the board. I'm like, oh, that guy would have been good. That guy would have been good. But it would have – but he could work out, and he could be kind of a sneaky, important pick here.
An interesting draft. I like a lot of the picks that the Titans have made here. you know, Malik Willis ends up working out, we could be looking back at this draft a few years from now and being like, oh my gosh, the Titans found their franchise quarterback in the third round of the draft. It is interesting, though, with now A.J. Brown gone and you're replacing him basically with Treylon Burks coming in here, and you drafted Kyle Phillips a little bit later with some of the picks in the second round, like a cornerback where you just drafted Caleb Farley last year, an offensive tackle where you just drafted Dylan Raidens last year. Like, it's interesting to think about kind of how the Titans are viewing this season, because, yes, I still think they're in win-now mode, but you can tell by some of these picks there's a significant eye to the future with J-Rob as well this year.
Well, that's the thing. You're right. You can look back at this draft at some point down the road and say, holy cow, look at this. They got another great receiver, and they got their franchise quarterback and whoever else works out, right? But – after this year, whatever the outcome is, I don't think it's going to be winning the Super Bowl. You know, you also will probably be able to look at, well, you're definitely going to look at what A.J. Brown does in Philly, but yeah. You know, but you can also look at probably some of these picks that were like Willis, you know, that were a little bit more forward thinking, see someone that could have taken for more instant help and say, would that have made the difference? But they got a defense that could be awfully, awfully good. And hey, what if Derrick Henry is incredible this year? I mean, yeah. It's not like all hope is lost. They are almost the favorite to win the AFC South going into 2022.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. He'll give his thoughts on the Titans and the draft as well. Coming up next, we'll look at the Preds and their matchup in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Colorado Avalanche. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a texter that says, can the media and fans stop comparing these draft picks to former players we've had at their positions? Please, thank you, God. This coming from a texter on the text line. Joe, I just want to point out,
no,
it was not you and I that compared Malik Willis to Steve McNair. Just want to throw that out there. We didn't do
never.
It.
But I'm embracing it. I mean, I'm all in on that, man. No, we will never stop. Hey, Chip from Mount Juliet's mad at me on the text line. I'd like to read his text now.
Okay.
Chip from Mount Juliet says, the offense is better than last year. Look at the additions. Your assessment last week that this team is, quote, absolutely worse, end quote, is ludicrous. And I said to Chip on the text line, I wrote that column after the Titans traded A.J. Brown and drafted Treylon Burks. They hadn't drafted anyone else. Claiming they weren't absolutely worse at that point is, quote, beyond ludicrous, end quote. Chip from Mount Juliet.
You start saying ludicrous anymore, that I'm going to start going space balls on us here, and we don't want that to happen. So
another yes, movie Michelle would find cringy and boring.
Yes.
I feel like I really offended you with that, Joe.
Oh, you did. He is flustered.
I'm not. So did you get to the part where they went to like the psychic or whatever?
No.
She got okay. 10 minutes in.
Yeah,
they were just at the restaurant, and Jennifer Aniston was just introduced into the plot.
Yeah, you got to give it a little time there, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is like there's so much gold in that movie. Like, I don't care if like that movie could have come out in the 30s and it would still be spun gold. So I'm going to reject your assessment and say try again.
Okay.
Ron on the text line says, I thought the Vegas draft was straight boring and doesn't come close to the one in Nashville. And Robbie, what in the world is Green Bay doing? I thought they needed a wide receiver and figured that would be their first pick. They did get Joe's boy, Christian Watson. So
who knows? Yes. Yes. I like that. Yeah. You know, speaking of what we were talking about last segment, by the way, I wanted to really quick before I forget about it. So I didn't even realize this until just now. So Carson Strong was not drafted at all.
Is that right?
Is that correct? Am I reading? So I'm reading a CBS Sports ranking of the drafted. I don't remember seeing him drafted, you know, but that's how it gets. You get later in the draft and it's coming fast. And, you know, you know, you're focused on.
He did get drafted.
Oh, okay. He did. Okay.
No, he did not.
Oh, he did not get drafted. Yeah.
He was signed by the Eagles. There you go.
Hey, so AJ Brown may have someone. Okay. I mean, but think about that though. Like, I mean, I saw a lot of people that had the Titans taking him like what, the third or fourth, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like the entire class just got dinged, man. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You got, I mean, even like Sam Howell going in the fifth round of the Commanders.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. But it's also interesting, of course, that in the Atlanta Titans parallels, it's just kind of crazy. One, you know, Tyler Vrabel, by the way, congrats to him, goes to Atlanta, will play for Arthur Smith. Obviously knows that coaching staff extremely well. But you got Mariota starting there, Tannehill here. You got Malik Willis as the backup everyone wants to see here. You got Desmond Ridder as the backup everyone's going to probably want to see in Atlanta soon. Now, that one to me is viable in terms of at some point a rookie playing in replacing the starter. It would be if Mariota weren't guaranteed to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL this year. But
that's right.
But at least like he's a quarterback who could be ready. Like Malik Willis, every Titans fan should embrace. Like Malik Willis is a red shirt. You know, just embrace that and just, you know, go with that. And that's just, and then next year, who knows? He may not be the starter next year either, but early on, like you just got to forget about him. Now, will the Titans?
You know, that's not going to happen, right?
But you know, the Titans, are possibly going to think Taysom Hill with him, though.
Hey, maybe so. Maybe so. What did you make of in round two at 35 overall, the Titans going with Roger McCreary, corner out of Auburn? I mean, I've watched him play. He can run. I think he's a good player. But what did you make of them going cornerback in the second round? And not only in the second round, really early in the second round, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at day two of the draft, especially, you know, if you're mad at John Robinson still, you may want to look at it this way. Like it was just totally just like doing over bad picks from last year, you know, just like last year where they took Dylan Raiders. It's like, well, wouldn't have had to do that without Isaiah Wilson. And now you look at McCreary and Petit Frere from Ohio State, amazing name.
Yeah.
And you could say, oh, so Farley didn't work out, bring in McCreary. Raiden's isn't working out, bring in Petit Frere. But look, they needed an offensive tackle. I thought they needed a corner. I was surprised they went that high. And at first I was like, man, with the tight end needs, with the receiver needs still, another receiver, you know, with the interior offensive line, which they didn't draft, which is probably the biggest surprise to me of this draft. Well, you know, other than, you know, the one thing that's a little bit more surprising.
Yes.
But I got to say, I mean, I like the pick. I like the player. I do. I think he's a really good player. Anybody who watched Auburn, look, I mean, this guy has gone against the best. And I really like that in terms of, it's just like Christian Fulton, man. It's like you've been playing against all those Bama receivers and stuff. I mean, you have seen legit guys, some of the top guys you're going to see at the next level. And it's the same thing with McCreary. I like his speed, aggressiveness, versatility. So it does feel like a little bit of a commentary on Farley, but it also feels like they just strengthened the one part of the defense that I wasn't sure about. Now we'll see with any rookie, you can't know. But it gives a little bit more time, a little bit less pressure on Farley now, you know, keep rehabbing and, you know, you want that to be a competition, but you might have yourself a starter here as a rookie or at least a guy who contributes. And look, Screen has been a nice find. He's getting up there. Chris Jackson has been a really good seventh round pick from a couple of years ago, but they're more talented in the area that I thought needed one more really good piece. And I think this defense, which they didn't do much with, I think it still looks like it could be awfully, awfully good.
So what did the draft tell you about Dylan Raiden's as they move forward? Because we've talked about the tackle position Obviously, they go out at number 69 overall and draft an offensive tackle. What does this tell you about how they view Ravens as they move forward?
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. I know I've seen some people who think taking Petit Frere where they did says, oh, there you go. Dylan Ravens is your left guard. I'm not there. I don't think that you're drafting this kid who, by the way, Ohio State, I think with him, there's another, to me, pick that is a little bit of let's think down the road then right now, because all the evaluations on him are tremendous talent, tremendous upside, still a little bit raw, not like plug and play ready to go in there. That's kind of why he went where he went. So I can't believe that they're just saying, this is our tackle. Dylan, get over there, left guard. I think it's going to be Ravens against Petit Frere for right tackle. You want competition. You want depth. If things work out and they both have good camps, now you have someone starting. I still think Ravens is the more likely starter at right tackle. I could be wrong. But then you hope that Petit Frere, if that's the case, or the other one who doesn't win, is a good swing tackle. I also still think that like a veteran pickup there on the offensive line would be a very good idea.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the draft. We'll get to a couple other positions offensively that I thought were pretty interesting. The Titans selected in the fourth round the other day. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.